Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Well, hello there, Mr. Mellard.
Hola, Senor Doug.
We got a good one today.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, very funny comedian who is actually an example of someone who decided to change his name for show business.
What?
Yeah, and his current name, we'll find out if he's going to stick with it, is Tom Takkar. But he didn't make the change. I know a few people that changed their names before they kind of got into stand up and, you know, showbiz, but he didn't make the change until after he'd been in it for a little bit. So I find that interesting.
And today we're going to make him change it back.
I mean, you know what his old name was, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's ringing a bell now.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So we'll get into that with him and more right now. Let's go to work. Tom Takkar, hello.
Hey, how's it going, Doug?
Yeah.
Who am I talking to?
Yeah, which one do you mean? I don't know if I should answer. Let's start with Doug Mellard. How's it going, Doug Mellard?
Hey, pretty fantastic.
All right. You sound weird, but we'll see. We'll see. Because sometimes there's, you know, weird sound glitches on my end that don't happen on the recording end. Oh. So if I don't even bring it up, nobody would know the difference. Tom Takkar, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good, Doug. You know, just chilling and grilling. Been doing some wedding planning today. I got some spots tonight. I'm in the New York hustle.
Woo. Wedding planning.
When we do these, we just do the audio, and so everybody has like an avatar that represents them that pops up. And so to hear, it's good to hear that you say you're doing well, because
yeah,
your picture is you have your fingers in your mouth like you're blowing your head off.
Yeah, it's a gun. It's me miming shooting myself in the head via my mouth.
Through your mouth, yeah. It's kind of like, it's almost like you're screaming at your finger gun.
That is an interesting picture, because I didn't realize until after so that's from Conan, and I didn't realize until someone pointed out to me, they were like, dude, you just mimed blowing your head off on TV. And I was like, oh shit, that's going to be a cool picture. And, sure is.
That is funny that, like, I mean, I guess you occasionally see somebody like put a gun to their own temple. Yes. And like pretend to shoot themselves. But that graphic of a shooting style, that serious of a shooting style is, it's hard to picture that happening on TV, but you did it.
Yeah, I did. I was like, oh shit, I can't believe I got away with it. But that was, what was so great about Conan is you could do a little more, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But even then, they sometimes just give you some weird notes, and that's
right.
Good for you. Way to do it. You're doing it, buddy.
Yeah. Part of me was like, maybe they didn't see me do that, but, and maybe I gave the booker a slight panic attack when I did it, but hopefully not. He's a good guy.
Well, that was in the set that you auditioned with or whatever.
Yeah. I didn't just throw that in. Yeah. Right. I didn't just go, man, this is going bad. my brain down.
what words do you say? You know, you don't have to do the whole bit, but like what words do you say directly before you stick your gun fingers in your mouth?
It's a bit about how I don't like guns, but I'll admit it would be fun to have a gun, but for just for Instagram. And then it's like post a picture like, oh, got to go to the bank. And then just trying to blow my brain down.
So that's I see why they would be too shocked by that, because you don't, it's not like you say it makes me want to kill myself and then do it, you know. You're talking about it as a gesture that is wildly inappropriate.
Right. Exactly.
But also was on Conan. So that also helps a great deal, I think, in terms of what gets through and what doesn't. I haven't done a set on TV in a while, but it's just, it is impossible to keep up with what is going to be determined to be something.
Oh man. You can't
say.
I just did the Tonight Show in October, and the stuff that I could say and couldn't say, I couldn't believe, because I didn't know that you just can't name a brand. Like I had a bit where I say Buffalo Wild Wings, neither negative or positive towards it, and they were like, oh yeah, you can't say that. And then I have a bit about basically stealing Jackson Galaxy's identity online, and they were like, yeah, that's fine, I guess. So I couldn't believe it.
That's a really strange one, because I'm always kind of shocked by how, like, on SNL they'll do entire sketches where it's like they're name dropping a company, and they're not complimentary generally.
No, yeah, you're right. I don't understand that. What the hell? Now I'm pissed.
Yeah,
I hadn't thought of it like that.
Yeah, I think what happens is a lot of times, like for a sketch show or for like Conan's monologue or one of his bits, they'll go to the trouble of clearing it. But for a stand-up comedian where they can just go, no, say something else.
Right. That makes
sense. It's so much easier than getting their lawyers involved, you know?
Yeah. that's a great point. It is not worth it for us when they can just be like, yeah, just don't do as good as you would like to do. Just say something you're not as comfortable saying.
Yeah. And there's just also just an arbitrariness to all of it, because at any given time, the supposed standards and practices person at a network they're just playing by they get to decide what the rules are, you know? So they just, they do this weird self-policing to the point of ridiculousness. Like, I don't know if it's changed over Comedy Central, but I see it in other people's sets and on the shows they re-air, you know, the movies and TV shows that they do reruns of. Insertion is completely not allowed. The idea of being inside someone else.
Really? That's a funny thing to notice. It
was really one that they would like not want you to say.
Yeah.
So I had this really filthy joke I wanted to do on Comedy Central, and they're like, "Well, you can't bring up insertion, but the rest of it, the rest of the dirtiness, they didn't care about." Another time they made me change fingering herself to playing with herself.
Oh yeah.
Which is, playing with herself to me is the more sexual of the two.
Yeah, it also sounds like kind of elementary. You're like playing with herself.
Right, it's not fun to say. Fingering herself is fun to say. You know, even though
it's weird with the insertion thing, because it feels so like, I don't know, for a Comedy Central, it's so like biblical or something. Can you just do the tip? Like, how much can you insert?
I don't know. Cause they would not let me say I wanted to say, bury my dick in your ass. And they bleeped the word in.
God, that's so stupid.
Isn't that insane?
Who's watching it and happy about that? Like, who's like, oh, thank God he didn't say in. What could he have said there? I guess I'll just have to leave it to my imagination.
Well, also, Comedy Central definitely like hedged their bets, I think, because I believe when they rerun, you know, when they sell these shows to different places, they just have to run a TV MA or something, and they just let all the words fly, like let it happen. Because on streamers, nobody's complaining about comedians being dirty, because it's just like, well, you should assume comedians are going to be dirty. Like, there's no reason to think everybody's our friend Nate Bargatze. But you're pretty. We'll get into what we're supposed to be talking about in a second. But where, Tom Takkar, where do you? Where are you at with dirty material? Like, you, I think you like have some of each.
Yeah, I do. I'm all over the map. I can do like a clean set. And then I also, I feel like my, when I'm dirty though, people don't feel it as hard. Cause it's like, it's not with any kind of intent of like, I'm trying to gross you out. It's just to make, it's usually just to make a point or say something silly. Like, it's never, even when I say pretty dirty stuff, people have classified me as not dirty. So, I mean, I have, I, you know, I say some dirty ass shit, but, yeah, it's not. I feel like I lean not crazy dirty, even though my closing bit is a thing about how I think people with big dicks should have to pay extra tax. And I say the word dick in about like 10 different ways. And it's just to make me laugh, but it doesn't feel, I don't think it reads as dirty as it is.
Yeah, well, that's part of the thing that's hilarious about language and censorship on television is you can talk about shit all you want as long as you don't use the word shit.
Right, right.
Every other way to describe shit is okay.
Right.
Unless you call it a fucking shit, you know what I mean? Like, there's no... So, you know, crap, poop, duty, feces, whatever, you know, it's all okay. So, like, I just don't get why shit is still in word jail,
right,
with no sign of getting out. Like, I mean, like, as soon as FX free decided shit, well on the Shield we're gonna say shit, and then they say it too much, you know, like they overdo it, like that FX for a while has been like anybody can say shit on FX, so like in that sense it's loosened up, but it's still strangely everywhere else they'll, you know, on regular TV they'll still bleep it.
But yeah, and you can't say anything about inserting shit anywhere into anyone.
Yeah, they don't want to hear that.
That's that thing you just said is so terrible that this now I'm afraid this podcast is over.
Well, it's been good talking to you, Dougs.
Yeah, we thought we had freedom of speech in podcasting, but not true. Well, let's get into talking about names, because as I mentioned in the cold open that you didn't participate in, Tom, we didn't say what your old name was, but that you did, you know, you were basically, I feel like your hands were tied. You were kind of forced to change your name.
Yeah, it was Charles Manson. And I feel like,
yeah, how can you, you can't, no. There's no saving that. Like, you know, even though your friends call you Chuck, it's still right. Manson sounds just as bad.
It's
maybe
just
worse.
As bad. And also the way I, the tattoos I have don't help. no, for those who don't know, cause we've talked about it on, this will be, I think every form of, every medium that you have will have covered it for people, but my legal name and my former name is Tom Brady. So it was tough, especially in Indiana, like and anywhere doing the road, people would boo. So it's like they hate Tom Brady everywhere but Boston. And then it's even in Boston, it was annoying because then people are cheering the other way, and it's like. It just got to be too much. And I had a bit about it, but I didn't want to be the like Tom Brady comic. And everybody would tell me about Bob Marley, the comic, who I've heard is very funny, but I've never seen him. But I was just like, I don't want to be a guy that for the rest of my life who people are like, oh, yeah, but you'll never, you know, outlive. You're not going to like outdo the fucking greatest quarterback of all time, as it turns out.
Or to have the sub like. Tom Brady, no, the comedian, you know, like right. To have that extra. Yeah.
Well, it hit me too. Cause I really wanted to do, Conan really bad. Speaking of which, and it hit me one night. I was just like, oh, there's no world where Conan O'Brien is going to say here tonight on the show, we have Tom Brady, and then have to be like, it's the comedian. It's not, you know, it just hit me. And also Mike Birbiglia sat me down. I opened for him for a weekend, and he was like, dude, you've got to change your name. This is insane. And so I sat around, and then I decided to change it to my father's name because my parents were never married and I didn't really have a relationship with them, but I liked the alliteration of Tom Takkar, and it seemed to fit better than anything that I was coming up with on my own. I'm so indecisive that it's hard to pick a name, you know, if you get to name yourself.
Yeah. It's the worst. I can't pick out a tattoo, you know.
Right.
I can't.
Yeah, same.
I can't even think of like having to, you know, come up with my own name. The other way around, like one day I could be sitting around going, oh, I wish my name was whatever, you know, but that I haven't.
Yeah,
had
I do
that.
It all the time. It's so hard not to go, oh, if I just thought a little bit harder, I could be Thunder Brady or something. I don't know.
Well, I think Brady is just also Brady, like the obvious change that needed to happen, you know, because
yeah.
I guess you could get by with, but then just having to explain everywhere you go that you're no relation.
Yes, there's that. Even before Tom Brady, it was the Brady Bunch. It was a whole thing. Like, it's never been good. So it's also not anybody's name in my family. So it's like, it doesn't even make sense that I was the only Brady. So it's like, it didn't even really fit anything, you know?
Yeah, but you should have said to people, because it'd be hilarious, you should have said, my name's Tom Brady, no relation. Like, there would be two people named Tom Brady that are not related and also not that far apart in years. He's about a decade older than you think?
Yeah, he's 9 years older than me, I think. I believe that's it. So I'm 34. I think he's like 43. I used to have a bit when I was first starting about how people would ask me if I like was named after him, and it's like that would be so insane if my mom.
No, you were like, named after him in sequence.
That's true. Yeah.
You did come after he did.
But if my mom was just scouting peewee quarterbacks, this guy's got it.
Did you ever think about going with LeBron Brady?
I did think about that.
It's also that interesting.
Would be a great name.
It's interesting that you know, my perception of you shifted slightly because, especially in the spelling, not so much in the saying, but in the spelling, it's more of an ethnic name. I mean, yeah, Brady has no ethnicity attached to it whatsoever, but it's clear. It's just as white as can be. But but Takkar with an H, Takkar is, either has some, foreign, it's just got a foreign feel to it, or, you know, Star Wars, Star Trek kind of name.
That's what I was going for.
But so then also you seem less white to me just in general. Is that weird? Or have you heard other people say that?
No, that's interesting. Cause it's like, I think read white to most people, but I am half Indian. But I could see that. Just
I'm saying just calling you, knowing you as that name makes the Indian pop a little bit.
Well, Tom Brady is the whitest name you could have. So it definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
I never would have. It's like, that's how much my mom hated my Indian father. She gave me the whitest possible name you could have.
Well, like the kind of act that, you know, seeing your act, you know, because we've been on opposite coasts a lot of the time, so we don't see each other that much. But like what I see of you on TV and everywhere, I just feel like initially, because you also tend to always be like, when I'd see you on TV, you'd be like, always have like a suit on, right? You never do spots all casual.
Sure.
Yeah. So you just always really, really, really came off as white to me. Mm-hmm. And now I could clearly see that you're not just white, you know?
Yeah,
and, but the Takkar is what really pushed me in that direction.
It'd be crazy if instead of a suit, you just wore a Tom Brady jersey.
It has Tom Takkar. It's a New England Patriots jersey with the number 12, but it says Takkar on it. Just really leave some Easter eggs for people.
All right. Well, that brings me to my next question. What have you ever seen half of a Bollywood movie?
I have not. Actually, that's not true. They used to play them. You know, this is a way, in a way I did, because I would see Bollywood movies at this Indian place I would go to in Bloomington, but I couldn't hear them. So that's kind of like seeing half.
Oh, yeah. It really is. You really did half see them. You did. You met your responsibility to your culture. Your half of your culture. And I love, you know, I haven't seen a lot of them, but whenever I do watch them, or when they're like, remember the movie Ghost World? They kept showing the one Bollywood movie. You know, they show numbers from a Bollywood movie.
Yeah.
ScarJo and the other girl, Thora Birch, the movies they were watching. Anyway, Doug Loves Movies is, you know, another thing, another time, and Doug Loves TV doesn't exist, so we won't get into it too much.
It is hard not to talk about movies with you.
I was just going to say the Brady association with the TV show. It must finally. I mean, I know you've ditched the name Brady, and there's another more famous Brady, but I also bet that, given another 5-10 years, it's only going to be older folks that know or remember the Brady Bunch.
Well, here's the thing, though. I think that's right around time we're due for some sort of movie again. Like, nothing ever dies anymore. They're gonna do something. And it's like crazy. I don't know if it actually holds up, but I remember seeing the Brady Bunch movie when it first came out, and I loved it. I thought it was hilarious, and I can't imagine. It was a kind of
twofold fun you can't have with it now, because we knew the actual show they were parodying.
Right. That's fair.
It was on in reruns all the time, you know, and so we knew the source material, so we could laugh at how winky it was.
Right.
You know, the whole time, like, wasn't this show stupid? We're making fun of that show.
Yeah.
I think it's right time for, like, we need like a gritty reboot where we don't hear about, the parents' murder, you know, in the alley.
Right. We need a very dark, it has to be, we need to see what Brady Bunch world looks like.
they could just go real life on it. And because, you know, the father on the show, what was his name? Robert Reed, was that it? He was closeted, you know, during the making of the show.
Right, right.
He was like one of those America's Dads types, you know, like he was like such a perfect dad and everybody loved him. Mm-hmm. And such a great architect too, because he made a house that when you're looking at it from the outside, that staircase is not there in that spot. But when you go inside, it's like, oh, okay. Now we're in a set. Outside is just some house in the valley that they thought looked good.
They should make the gritty reboot where it's like they show the, like, why are they divorced in the first place? Like, how did they get divorced? So they show the family falling apart before, they're abusive and stuff.
It's like two insanely ugly divorces. And then, like, you know, one of them's in prison and the other one is, somehow still in their lives, you know, or reveal a little ways in, it's Alice. And she works for them because she used to be married to him.
There we go.
And and it was like, he didn't want to just, you know, that's why Alice wasn't the greatest housekeeper, because it really wasn't her vocation. It was just, you know, they made her do that because otherwise she wouldn't have anywhere to live.
You'd think that the kids would be nicer to her then, or a little warmer.
Cause Alice was live in, wasn't she?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Wow. He really was a successful architect. Cause the mother didn't have a job and Alice cost a fortune.
Oh yeah. She must. Right.
Right. You
Did
know,
Alice live with the Brady.
Are you looking it up? Are you Googling it?
Yeah, she lives there. Yeah, she lives at the Brady house. That's crazy.
I love the idea of a young you watching the Brady Bunch and liking it, but you are the solo Brady in your family.
Yeah. I was. There was no bunch. The Brady guy. The Brady guy.
Oh.
Oh man.
You're just screaming, I want to be a part of you guys.
Yeah, yeah. And the father left, and that's how he became the Brady guy. That's great.
Oh, that got dark.
Yeah.
How much how much television had you done? You did do some TV as Tom Brady.
I don't think I did. No,
really? You switched to it. Your first TV thing.
I think this was a Birbiglia thing, but he was like, I think you're very close. And once you're on TV, it's going to be too late. Like, it's going to be way harder to change once you've got a credit under your belt.
Yeah.
And yeah. I kind of had a feeling like it might be happening within the next year or so. And then sure enough, the year that I changed it in January, and then I was on Conan in November, I think. Right. I'm pretty sure that was the same year. It might have been 2 years, but I can't fully
remember. Well, and I guess SAG would have made you change it anyway, because Tom Brady's been in a couple
things. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Although I'm not part of SAG. I don't believe. I think I would
know. Well, you're in AFTRA, so now you're probably also in SAG because they merged. But
gotcha.
But maybe they have some sort of weird, but you're not really in SAG. Rule or yeah, so. I've never I don't
heard
know.
From these people.
SAG's always been very, very difficult to get into. So that merger was kind of a surprise, because AFTRA's been much easier to get into, because all comedians get into AFTRA because they make you do it the first time. I know comedians, they have gone into debt to do television because their first time they have to pay their initiation fee or whatever. They have to pay that before they work.
Yeah. And people don't realize you also don't always make a lot of money to be on something. So.
Yeah. I remember being excited the first time to get the check. And then the check was the exact amount of having to pay SAG to get in.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
You just hand it over. Like,
doing something like Fallon, it's like, if you want to get a suit or something, it's like, you're either breaking even or losing money. Like, it's not, you don't make that much money, you know? Oh, I mean, I like to buy $500,000 suits, but
Letterman, when they, you know, his whole reign, he insisted that the comics wear, you know, jacket and tie. And I think towards the end, we're starting to get away with not wearing a tie, because he, you know, loosened up a little bit, I think, on that. But it was still weird to watch, like, Dave Attell, you know.
Some comics, that's not their thing. Like, I feel weird doing it, too, but it's. Next time I might not wear a suit, but it's also like an occasion. But it doesn't fit everybody's act. Some people have acts that it's really weird to see them in a suit.
Yeah, well, especially these days, it's really like almost like, well, this guy's some sort of character.
Yeah,
you know, like if you're just in a club and it's not like, you know, obviously there's certain comics that are gonna just that dressing up is their thing, and they're not necessarily. You know, the act doesn't necessarily match it. Like, you know, like Sebastian Maniscalco, like, jumps around a lot for a guy who generally always looks very well dressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember being a part of a showcase for Letterman here in Austin years ago. And they made us all wear suits, and all the comics were going to hang out beforehand, get like a drink. And then I remember calling one of the comics on the showcase to extend the invite. And I was like, hey, how you doing? What you up to? And he was like, I'm learning how to tie a fucking tie. Like, you didn't even know how to tie a tie. And you could see, like, many of the comics, their sets weren't as good because they were just slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, real weird.
It's an uncomfortable feeling. Like, I was doing right before I did Conan, I just went to some open mics in a suit just to feel what it was like. Yeah. I was like, I don't want the first time I do this to be on TV. That feels weird.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It's the perceptions we get, 'cause I, you know, see on TV more than in person. I just thought you were, you know, not like on a Thursday night or, you know, just for a spot at the Cellar or something, but like,
right,
you know, when you're headlining, you wear a suit. That's what I assumed.
Yeah. And I don't, I'm a t-shirt boy. I'm laid back. I don't think people would get if you just watched me on late night, I don't think you'd get like what I am. Like, although actually they let me get away with a little bit more than I would have thought last time I did it. So.
Did you get to sit down with Conan and talk for, even if it's brief, you get to go over there and sit down?
I didn't sit down with him, but I talked to him for a little bit. He was super nice because it was, he introduced me. I remember in the green room, I kind of had a panic because he did the like intro at the top of the show and he called me Comedian Takar. He didn't say Tom Takar. And I was like, oh shit, like this is going to ruin my life. And I thought that it was, I didn't think about like, oh, they can reshoot that. And so there's footage of me. Jared from the Comedy Attic was there and he happened to be filming me watch the intro and me just freak out. I'm like, oh no, because it sounds like I'm like a fucking magician or something.
Yeah, it sounds like a funny psychic is going to come out.
I got to be wearing a cape or something. And I was like, immediate instinct, I was like, well, shit, I guess I'm Comedian Takar now. I guess I got to go with that. Like, this is my first TV thing. But then he was just talking to me about that afterwards. He was super nice. I talked to Andy Richter for a long time because I talked about being from Bloomington, Indiana, and he was like, oh, my parents live there. And so we talked about that for a little bit. But yeah, Conan was very nice.
I think I saw you at Limestone in Bloomington one year, and you, damn it, if you weren't wearing a t-shirt or something, you weren't in a suit. You weren't. Now that I'm picturing it,
it's all coming together.
Oh, you know, when I'd see you on like when I do the morning radio show, you wore a suit every day to that.
No. I would dress like shit on there. I see pictures of that sometimes. I'm like, what was I doing? Like, I guess because it was radio, I wasn't thinking about it.
Yeah, well, also you're traveling there and fucking like it's winter most of the time now, right? Or hella hot, so like you're like, you know, you can't wear anything that's like looks good because it's, you know, it's either puffy clothes or, you know, shorts,
right? And when you have a job like that, you just get so used to like it just becomes like any other day job where you're like, I'm gonna do the bare minimum because I'm just getting in, like, not doing the bare minimum, like on radio, but like, as far as getting dressed and getting ready, cause you're just like, I'm waking up. We're all comics. So it's like, we're not early birds for the most part. And like morning radio, even that, which was like at like 9 or 10 in the morning, I was like, ah, shit, this is still early as hell for me. Cause I'm doing spots till 1 or so and getting home at 2. So, yeah, I did not look great in there, but yeah.
Well, we got to take a break. This has been going so good, I forgot about that aspect of the proceedings. So we'll take a break and come right back. We have more with Takar.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
We're back. We're here with a man who named himself after perfume Takar Noir and the other Doug. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Still with us?
Woof. Still chugging along.
He's got his fingers in his mouth at home.
That's what you want to put into the, you know, into the listeners' heads is the idea that, you know, yeah, we're still chugging along. We're still churning this shit out.
Just more content for these piggies to eat up. There's more slop come, for these piggies' ears.
Come to the content trough and eat. So growing up, Tom, tell us about that. Just the first name, Tom. What did you experience with that? Is it a good first name? Is it short for Thomas?
It is short for Thomas, and I was Thomas until fifth grade when I desperately wanted to be Tommy. I wanted to be Tommy so bad, and I couldn't be because there was another kid in my class who already got Tommy, and I was pissed because I was obsessed with the Rugrats, and Tommy Pickles was cool as hell to me, and I was like, fuck, I want to be Tommy, but I wasn't on the table. So I was Thomas until fifth grade. Our teacher like went around and asked first day of school, like, okay, it says your name is this on the attendance sheet, but what do you go by? And I split second decision. I just went Tom, and my mom didn't know it. My family didn't know about it, but that day I became Tom and would be forevermore. And they still call me Thomas, and it's weird if they call me Tom, but everybody else it's Tom. But man, to be Tommy, what a dream.
So you're also a fan of the Who's Tommy?
I was, yeah. I was a huge fan of the Who as a 9 year old.
Weird as hell, and also kind of felt like parts of it were like for children.
I never saw it.
It's got some real sing-songy tunes that are really weird, and the visuals are always super trippy, and it's an insane movie that I can't believe I was subjected to so young, because my parents didn't go out of their way to take me to R-rated movies, but it didn't stop them from taking me if it's something they wanted to see.
Right. Yeah, that's how my home was, is if it was... I remember seeing There's Something About Mary with my aunt and uncle, and them just being like, look, we're going to fucking watch this. Like, if you're around, it's fine. But like, they were like, if there was like nudity or so, that scene where Ben Stiller's jerking off, they were like, hey, maybe like close your eyes or something. I don't know. Like, I don't think you're supposed to be seeing this, but
it just draws more attention to it. Like a lot of things, either kids absorb or they just sort of know to not be like, to be sort of like, something's going on here that's I haven't seen before, but I'm also not gonna make a big deal out of it because I don't want them to turn it off.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know, like I'm just going to act like an adult and not flip out. Cause that'd be so bizarre. Be watching that with a little kid and they like suddenly get up and start screaming. Like there's like, what is happening?
What is this? Is this insertion?
Yeah. That's those kids always grow up to be stars in practices at, cable networks.
That's really funny. The making of an S&P person.
Oh my god. I hate origin stories because it's always just like they have to be traumatized in a certain way, so they have a certain hatred or bias when they're an adult. And it's just dumb, you know. But in this case, I think it would be really interesting. Or just somebody that becomes like a what's another example of a person who's like basically a watchdog for the company they work for, you know, like, and they get real, they get a lot of power. S&P. I saw it.
Yeah.
I saw it up close a few times where like, they can just say no to something happening on a station where they are not the president. They're not the person in charge at that station, but they can override them. That's what they hire them to be there, to be just like hardliners. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really weird. What a weird job.
Yeah, I know.
It's just to keep people out of trouble, but it's all just eyeballing it. That's so weird.
Yeah, and having your own like sort of, you have to interpret things so often. And that's why it's funny, you know, in the history of comedy on television and in movies, like the stuff that's just like things are said a certain way just to get it past whoever the censor was or whoever the producers were, you know, whoever they were getting it past.
Yeah.
Just by using, like, especially in rap, it's hilarious to me what they don't bleep out. That's like much more awful things than just simple F-bombs, but they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah.
It's like saying to somebody, hey, tell me which parts of Shakespeare he's talking about fucking. Like, well, it could be a ton of it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Most of the time it could be, you could like, it's full of like that kind of feels like double entendre or something.
Well, anyway. Even, I mean, Skeet is like such a funny like example of that when you would be able to hear Little John say skeet, 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 mother, mm-hmm. and they'd bleep out motherfucker, but it's like the skeet part is much worse.
Yeah, it's like these people are like, I'll just approach all this stuff from my own perspective. I won't do the research. You know, like I'll just go, well, I don't know what that means, so I'll let it go.
I do like that, though, that it's like
it's one way to just turn your back, you know, to like not be too sensory. But on the other hand, why would there's so many nonsense songs? I mean, nonsense words in songs,
mm-hmm.
you know, that a lot of them turned out to be like, oh, we sang that because we couldn't sing what we really wanted to sing.
Yeah.
You know, so they just pick something else. It's just, you know, they all know what they mean by it, but it's a different, you know.
Yeah. I just watched the Lenny Bruce movie. I think it's just called Lenny. Have you ever seen that?
The Dustin Hoffman one?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's this scene in that. I'm sure it's from a real thing that Lenny Bruce did, but him just saying blah. Like instead of saying suck dick, he says blah, my blah. And it's a very creative way to get around. I like that as a way to do it. Just switch it to blah, and it's so much dirtier.
Yeah, because it's just then he'd also really lay into it in a way that he might not normally have done, and you know, it's also probably not the point of the story or the punchline. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's just he just was filthy. Then they came and said, "Don't be filthy." And he said, "Okay, I'll read court transcripts." That's a lose-lose for everybody.
Yep. Jesus. No one's happy.
Yeah, he took the ball and went home with it and then made us listen to him talk about it.
Yep.
But what do you think of that movie? Because I haven't seen it in a while, and I feel like it wasn't, that in some regards, people thought it was bad. Like Dustin Hoffman's acting up a storm, but it's kind of like if Dustin Hoffman said the things that Lenny Bruce said. Like, it wasn't like he disappeared into that character.
Right, right. Yeah, it didn't feel exactly like watching, like, I mean, because we've seen clips of Lenny, but it's like, it's not, you know, it didn't feel, that's exactly it. It's him just saying the stuff. And it was fun. Like, I thought all the performances were really fun. I thought they were good, but I found the movie to be not that interesting or great. I thought it was shot really well. And I watched it with my fiance. She's been wanting to watch it. She liked it a lot. But she forgets that she did almost fall asleep completely by the end of it. So I can't do that. So I was like, I'm watching till the end and it just drags a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It just gets like, he's not great with the, just go ahead and let him die already or whatever.
Yep.
and the thing, cause also it's like, it is the photography is brilliant, you know, in black and white, but it's also like, you know, after a while you've also had enough of that, you know, because there's a lot of him just in a spotlight in a nightclub.
Yeah.
You know, which was like one of Bob Fosse's favorite images that just repeats over and over in all of his work. But yeah, I want to go back and revisit that one out of curiosity, but I just lately I've really been coming to terms with the fact that, and it's always a thin line here, but I, you know, I just decide how I feel about it in each case. And that's famous people playing other famous people. Some of them are great at it, and others, I just can't stop seeing the famous person that's playing the role. You know, like in the case of this last year, Nicole Kidman was always Nicole Kidman as Lucille Ball.
Oh, I couldn't watch that because I don't know. I just couldn't
handle it. And Javier Bardem, he's a great actor, but it doesn't seem like Desi Arnaz at all.
Yeah. For a second, I thought you were going to say, I've come to terms with the fact that I hate movies.
No, I do also I do hate things about movies. Like, but then on the other hand, like, what's her name? Jessica Chastain and Tammy Faye really made the effort to it was a failed effort because ultimately she's still going to be prettier than Tammy Faye, no matter how much that makeup she puts on.
You but, take that back.
But she tried, you know, and she really got the voice and the mannerisms, and like she really nailed it. But asking Nicole Kidman to suddenly be like Lucille Ball kind of funny,
yeah,
you know, maybe she could do that for a sketch or something. But like, it was weird. It was I gotta stop talking about that movie. And we're almost out of time. This is flying by. This is shit, crazy. Yeah.
What I thought was weird about that, sorry, real quick, that Ricardo or Lucy movie, but they should have just switched it and had Javier play Lucy and Nicole.
This is good. Rick.
Sorry. Well, seriously, make it more of a stunt. You're kind of onto something there, that like just, you know, making it unusual in some way, because I don't know what you know, the screenwriter, director, Sorkin, I don't know what he thought was interesting about that, you know, because it takes place like one week in their lives. And I know that like the Cuban Missile Crisis was going on, so that was a big deal. But that seems like more of like Desi's story than hers. And also calling it being the Ricardos is boring. Like, I just don't get, I don't know why it happened. Right. and then it did get Oscar nominations, but I think it's just because people are just like, kind of like, you know, like with Nicole Kidman, if she's in a leading role in a movie, they just want to nominate her. They're not necessarily going to give it the award to her every time, but they just, the community just loves her. And, you know, and she is pretty amazing a lot of the time.
I need a break from her, because I don't know if you go to AMC theaters, but
that drives me nuts.
Is
brutal. Yeah,
it's so hard to watch. I try so hard to miss it, but it's really hard because it's right before the movie starts.
Oh yeah,
it's tough.
Yeah, I try to miss all that stuff, so what I do is I don't go. I definitely like do the research and try to figure out, you know, and if it is happening, I go stand out, you know, I don't mind hearing it as much as seeing it. For some reason, I just like, if I see a trailer, they'll show an image that happens towards the end of whatever movie that is, and they think it's like out of context, who's going to remember? And I remember. So it's always just like, why do I want to sit there the whole movie going, well, he still has to get hit by a bus,
right?
You know, when's that going to happen? All right. So no other nicknames though. They wouldn't go with Tommy, and they just all just called you Thomas.
Some people called me like T-Bird, or like, I was in a tough gang.
Tell me about it, stud.
When Slim Shady came out, people would call me the real Tom Brady. So it's like a joke. Like they'd sing the song, but, as far as Tom's go, I do think obviously everybody would love him, but I felt a little bit deeper of a connection to Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks because they were fellow Toms. I was like, these guys are like me. They're cool. Tommy Bird I got from my sister, but no, it was Tom was the one that stuck. And I did feel like, I felt like I had like a little secret being Tom. Cause I was living a double life as a Thomas and a Tom.
Were you familiar with the band Tom Tom Club?
I was not at that time. I probably would have been a huge fan.
I mean, they had like one hit single, and they were like kind of an offshoot of David Byrne's band Talking Heads.
Oh, that's interesting. See, I was very late to the Talking Heads, and now I love them. But
did you see the movie Stop Making Sense?
Yes, I love it. It's so good.
Two of the songs they stop at one point. They do two Tom Tom Club songs, I think. They do at least one, maybe two, in that movie.
That's wild.
But his new show, I've seen a couple of times. I absolutely love it.
Oh, it's so good.
I still need to see it. American Utopia.
I need to see
it. It's hard for me to see him older like that, even though he looks great. And actually, there's at the show that I run in Brooklyn, it's at this cool, like hipstery venue. called the Sultan Room, and it's mostly a music venue, but they have us do comedy once a month or so. And they had a night where it was this industry night that I was at, where they were shooting all these videos of bands going up, and there was kind of nobody there, but I happened to be in the building, like having dinner next door. And they were like, "Hey, will you come be part of the crowd for these bands?" And David Byrne showed up, and he was wearing a white jumpsuit, and there was a band who was wearing all white jumpsuits, and he goes up to them and he's like, "This is crazy. Look, we match. We should get a picture." And they didn't recognize him, and they go, "Maybe later, man." And he's like, "Oh, cool." And then he kind of just laughs it off. And then later on, the manager of the room was like, "Hey, you know, that was David Byrne, right?" And they're like, "Oh shit." Like, and then he was gone already. It was just a great little David Byrne popping around Brooklyn moment.
Yeah, and I mean, that is still a funny coincidence that, you know, if he came up and said, "Hey, look, I dressed like you guys, and I don't even know who the fuck you are."
Right.
It's still like worth a picture. Yeah, like an extra audience, or like a super fan dressed like us, whatever. Like, I don't like these guys.
No, they sucked. I also hated their performance, so I was happy to hear that story.
Can you share with us your middle name?
I got two here. So you're getting two for the price of one.
God, yeah. Not Patrick Edward, right?
No. What is that? Is that yours?
No, that's Tom Brady. Edward Brady.
I did not know that. Look at that.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah. No, mine is not that. That would be very funny. It's Alan Wesley.
A-L-A-N?
A-L-L-E-N.
Oh,
this show's starting to feel like a scam where you guys are like getting a little bit. And what's
seriously,
your
I need number? To know your social. Wait, but what, Wesley, W-E-S-L-E-Y?
Yep.
That's the name of the bad guy in Roadhouse.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I just watched Roadhouse like maybe a year ago.
Yeah, so. Brad Wesley.
Brad Wesley.
That's pretty close to my real name.
So Tom Allen Wesley Brady, and now Tom Allen Wesley Takar. Yeah,
it was Taw, but now it's Taut.
With all those names, how are you
Thomas?
Right,
Thomas Allen Wesley Takar or Brady. They really hit it out of the park if they wanted every name to have two syllables.
Yeah.
But those are both, I think they both have good flow. I think they both sound like an important person.
Yeah. Right. I almost went by that for a little bit, like just threw all my names in to, you know, try to get some separation from Tom Brady, but it didn't take, because it's still people just hear the first and last.
He would have ended up killing a president, so probably.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm your manservant, Tom Allen Wesley. Thomas, excuse me, Tomas.
Your manservant.
I wish Bruce Wayne would call Alfred that.
Yeah, hello, manservant.
All right. Okay, we did nicknames. We did. College?
Like, did my name change, or where did I go?
Anything happening? Any interesting name, nicknames then, or did you already cover that with all those other nicknames?
Yeah, that's like, that in college is where Tommy Bird or T-Bird was big in college, because I had a coworker who started calling me that.
But, well, what about Doug's? To take it back to us, how many Dougs other than the two of us have been, you know, are you aware of in your life, you know?
Well, I did also want to be a Doug, because I loved the TV show, the cartoon Doug. It was right up there with Rugrats for me. So I've gone to Halloween as a Doug before. I had a good buddy in Bloomington named Doug Drury, a very smart, funny guy. Yeah, who else is there? I don't have a whole lot of other Dougs, though, now that I'm thinking of it. Doug Smith, do you know him?
I think we're in touch. I think I'm going to, you know, do something with him at some point.
He's I don't know if you know his story, but he's a legitimate hero. He saved a woman and got slashed in the face while doing it. And his Conan is about it. It's really good.
Wow.
I can't pull another.
Did you know about that, Doug?
No, I did not.
Yeah, you Doug guys got to step it up.
Doug did not know that, Doug. I heard that name. He's in New York, yes?
Yeah. Great guy. He just got in at the Cellar this past year, I believe. He's a hell of a
comic. He'd be on the show right now, but I just know you better.
I got to get him in here.
Yeah, no, it definitely will. Yeah, I've already got the next show booked, but we'll have him on soon for sure, because I have been in touch with him. I want to also do, like, you know, I like the idea of doing stand-up shows that everybody in the show is named Doug.
Right. Because
it'll really show how, like, there's no real, it doesn't seem like just random who's named Doug, you know, like there's no similar, you know, if you got a bunch of people named Robert in the same show, I bet you people would be confused which one was which at the end.
Yeah.
Just a theory.
I'm trying to think. I guess Stanhope is the only other one that I can think of.
That's one for both of us, of course. And right. Also just another, the first time I met Doug, I was just like, really? This guy's name's Doug? You know, like how does the name Tom sit with you when you meet others with the same name? Like someone else called Tom, like, are you, oh, that doesn't seem like a Tom to me.
Well, it's funny. One of my best friends is a Tom. We do our podcast together, Stand By Your Band, Tommy McNamara. And he got Tommy, which I'm very jealous of, but he, he strikes me as a Tom. I'm like, that's my type of Tom, you know?
Yeah. Tommy McNamara is like exactly what it should be. Or even he could go Thomas if he wanted to. But Tom McNamara, it sounds like you're stuttering or not. You didn't start right. It sounds like a mistake to just be like into the last name that quickly, you know, especially with Mac being the first part of it. Tom Mac, you know, too much. But Tommy, that's great. And I did your podcast. We talked about Taylor Swift.
Yes.
And of course, we'd love to have her on this show, because that's crazy. A girl named Taylor, and she can't even sew. what's happening in this world? No, but that's cool that you don't. So Tom, it doesn't, like, Tom Cruise doesn't, you know, that doesn't get on your nerves that he's out there.
No, like I said, see, I don't know what he's doing these days, but when I was a kid, I loved Mission Impossible. I just thought Tom Cruise was the coolest guy. And
so it got you to drop this whole obsession with being called Doug or Tommy.
Right. I was like,
you're like, hey, I'm Tom Cruise now.
I'm like Tom Cruise. I might get into Scientology. I don't know what they're doing over there. It seems good.
And why are there so many videos of Tom Cruise on the internet that people say are deep fakes? Why him?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because he's so reactive. Like I don't know. He gets, he's very big. Like he has very big faces that he makes. So maybe it's easier to do or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's bizarre how often I see videos and people are passing them around going, well, this isn't real, but look at this, because, you know, cool things happen in the video, but it's like, but that's not Tom Cruise. I just can't even, like, why are they going to need actors anymore at a certain point?
Dude, I know. I saw James Austin Johnson just did one that I was like, holy shit, I couldn't believe it. Like, it's really creepy. it kind of scares me, but yeah, we don't need, just put anybody in anything, why not?
Yeah, so like they can, you know, I don't know what he could say to the American people that, you know, would change anybody's mind, but like that people could be making videos of Putin saying stupid, you know, just get hire Daniel Craig to play Putin,
right?
Putin. And you know, and then God, that'd be so much fun to get to mispronounce his name that way, because he must hate it.
Oh yeah.
I'm hey sure. What's up, Putin?
You should get him on the show, talk about names.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask, if you know, you had any ideas how we could get him. We ask all of our guests when time permitting, and we're actually out of time, but we ask our guests, you know, if they've got any access to the second gentleman, Douglas Emhoff, because he's the top Doug. Like, he's the one we gotta he's our you know, holy grail guest.
Right. Wise. He is the second gentleman of the United States, I'm to believe.
Yeah, yeah. Which is I guess quick that's Google. An expression. Yeah.
So this is Kamala's man, is that correct?
Yes.
Well, I'll just call up Kamala.
Oh, okay. See, that's what's been holding us back is that nobody has either of their numbers.
Yeah.
And so as long as you can ask her to ask him, that should get things going.
Yeah. I'm sure I can do it.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug today, Tom? We are out of time.
Yeah. I will be in Little Rock, Arkansas at the Looney Bin next week. And yeah, check out my podcast, Stand By Your Band, where we have comedians defend music that people make fun of or that they think is underrated. It's a good time. Yeah. And my website, tomtakar.com, and Takar is spelled kind of like Thacker, T-H-A-K-K-A-R, if it's confusing. But yeah, that's it. Thanks for having me, Dougs.
Yeah, dude. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. And, you know, I'm sorry that you're being institutionalized or whatever it is that you're doing. Is it like some sort of outpatient program they have there at the Looney Bin?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. It's they're going to keep me for about 5 days, they said. So, yeah. It's a padded club.
They have the logo on stage at the one in Tulsa that I played one time. And I loved everything about the experience, but me and Graham Elwood kept making fun of the fact that their sign looked like it said Lonk's Pin and not Looney Bin. And they were like so not into that. They were like so bummed out by it. And I don't know how to apologize to them. And it's probably just made it worse if they listened to
this. It's a bummer when they can't have a sense of humor about, like, I did an Epics Unprotected set. Oh yeah, check that out too. I did a special on Epics, but they had such a good sense of humor about me being like, you guys are lucky this is an unprotected set. Like, you've been making fun of such a dumb name or something. But anyway. All right, I gotta run, boys. Thanks again for having me. Fun.
Dude, you were a great guest and the first one to ever just leave after the plugs.
Yeah, I hate to do it. I gotta run to spot.
No, you gotta run. I understand. We'll do our plugs. You know, you don't need to hear our plugs.
I do want to hear them though. I want to know where to find you.
Oh well, you know, just look us up on the internet or give us a call. And thanks for being here and safe travels.
All right. Thanks, boys.
Yeah, I'll see you later, dude.
All right, bye. Later, man. So
we should put physical running steps of him leaving.
Like the Flintstones running.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, yeah.
What do you want to go first, Doug? You want to plug?
Yeah, I'll be at Moon Tower this weekend, tomorrow. Two shows, Friday, tonight, I guess. This comes out at midnight. Friday, the 22nd at the Velve at 10:30 on Unzipped, and the Best of the Fest at Parker Jazz Club at 11 p.m. I'll be hosting that one. And then next week, I'll be at Bare Bones Film Festival in Muskogee, Oklahoma. We've got two screenings of our film with two Q&As. Come on out and support. What about you, dude?
The film, of course, is called The Disappearance of Toby Blackwood.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And I love that. What's the name of that? Parker Jazz.
Yeah, Parker Jazz Club.
Parker Jazz Club. I love that. That's such a nice little room in downtown Austin.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I love it. All right. Netflix is a joke fest is going on in Los Angeles. If you're in LA or Austin, there's very long festivals happening. and I'm part of Netflix is a joke fest on May 1st at 420 Avalon Comedy Club, not Comedy Club. It's just a club called Avalon in Hollywood. It's across from the Capitol Records building. And I'm doing stand-up and Douglas movies in the Chicagoland area at the two Zanies there on May 4th and 5th. Denver, I'm going to be doing Douglas movies on Mother's Day, as I did every year pre-Pando for several years. It's a lot of fun. That's May 8th at 4:20. Bring your mothers! DouglasMovies.com. And based on our conversation with Tom Takkar, I still hadn't thought of something to call this episode.
I think I got one, maybe.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because of Tom Tom Club, we could be Doug Doug Club.
Oh, okay. Doug Club with Tom Takkar.
There you go.
Yeah, that was a good one. I mean, it was a good show and a good name. And so thank you to Doug. And I'll talk to you next time. We're approaching the end of the month. So it'll be 2 weeks before the next new episode. I've got a great guest booked. Any other final words, Doug?
And we'll be together physically next month in Houston.
Oh, that's right. Come and Take It Festival. Wide World of Doug Saturday at 4:20 with a couple of special guests. And then I'm doing Doug Loves Movies the next day, also at 4:20. And we'll both be doing stand-up. So just get a weekend pass if you're in Houston. It's going to be a really fun festival. As always, Doug Doug Club.
Got it.